Good morning. Morning. It's time for us to begin our morning worship service. Since you've come in, the sun is shining out there. It's going to be a beautiful, large day. We're glad for your presence here this morning. And if you're joining us online, we are glad that you're with us also. And we rue the day whenever we can all be back and worship together. So let's pray for that. There's only one announcement this morning that we wanted to make. Kendra, do you have that announcement? There we go. The Sunny Glens children's truck will be in our area February the 8th. They've asked for cooking spray, bleach, kids' healthy snacks, and popcorn. And if you'll notice, the barrel is overflowing out there, so that's a good thing. And they'll be glad whenever they get here to pick that up. Would you bow with me now as we begin with a prayer? Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you for this large day and for all the way that you bless our lives. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for his church. Father, we thank you for this group of Christians that meets here. Pray that you would bless each of the families that are represented. Help us as we enter into the spirit of worship that we would hear and do those things that we know that are the things to do. Forgive us of our sins, for it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Joyful, joyful we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Gifful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. I have a living hope. I have a future. God has a plan for me. Of this I'm sure. Of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Your word is faithful, mighty in power. God will deliver me. Of this I'm sure, of this I'm sure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Come, let us all unite to sing God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make. And sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love.
Good morning, church. I'll be doing a scripture this morning from the first book of John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. If you'll follow along with me, please. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
A little boy had a prayer that he prayed. He said, "Dear God, I bet it's very hard to love everybody in the world. There are only 4 people in my family, and I can never do it." When you think about God's love, it is amazing. And in life, we have a lot of memories of, in our minds, snapshots of love that we've had from our fathers and mothers. And this morning, John is going to give us some snapshots of God's love for us. Thinking about human fathers, there was a father whose son had been misbehaving, and so he said, "You're going to go up to the attic and sleep up there tonight, and nothing but bread and water, no dinner for you." And as the son went upstairs, the father was having a difficulty eating, and his wife looked at him and said, "I know that you want to go up there and let him come down, but if you do that, then he's not going to take things seriously. You need to stick to your guns." And he said, "Well, I won't go up there." So he told his wife good night, and he crawled up in the attic, and he drank water, and he ate bread with his son. And when his son fell asleep, his arm was his son's pillow. The father had to discipline his son, but he still cared about him. And that's a snapshot of his love for his son. The little boy came to the breakfast table, and he left a note for his mother. And he said, "You owe me for doing well in school, 25 cents. For taking care of Johnny, 25 cents. For cleaning up my room, 25 cents. For doing the dishes, 25 cents. You owe me $1. The mother kind of smiled, and the day went on. He came to the dinner table that night, and there was a note in four quarters, and it said, "You owe me for cleaning up your room when you thought you cleaned up your room, for nursing you when you were sick, for doing the dishes after you thought you did the dishes. You owe me absolutely nothing." That's love, isn't it? Amen. Sacrificial, Christ-like kind of love. And in the Bible, we have a lot of snapshots of God loving His people. Adam and Eve, before they were banished out of the garden, He took an animal that He had created and made clothes for them and made a promise that He was going to send His Son. In fact, if you're on the island of Ulubuga and you're starting in Genesis 1 and you're reading about the story about God, you're going to be overwhelmed with His love for His people and His promises and what He provides. It's an amazing story of love, and it culminates in the cross where He gives up His Son for us so that we could have eternal life. Not what we deserved. And we see God's love and God's grace just unfold before us. And we have stories like the prodigal son who comes and says, "Give me my inheritance," and goes out and squanders it and ends up feeding the pigs, longing to go home. And he thinks, "I'll just be one of my father's servants." And when the father sees him, he runs and he hugs him and kisses him and puts sandals on his feet and a cloak around him. They kill a fatted calf. That's love. And then the older son is upset because the younger son gets the treatment he gets, and the father goes out to him. It's a story of stories, snapshots all over Scripture about God's love for us. And in 1 John, it's not going, Kendall. There we go. Nope, that's too much. There we go. Let's look at three snapshots of love here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. First of all, the proclamation of God's love. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." He proclaims to us a message about our love for others and God's love for us. And he says, love is from God, and God is love. If you love others, you're born of God. When we become Christians, our nature changes, and we no longer treat people the way we did before. We treat people differently because we have a new nature. It's God's nature. And if you love, you know God. If you don't love, you do not know God. You could say, "I love God," but if you treat people with hatred and you don't seek their highest good, he's talking about agape love, a love that seeks the best in others. It's a gift love, a sacrificial love, an unconditional love. It's a love that's decided. We decide to love or not to love. It's a Christ-like kind of love. That's what he calls us to. We are to love, Jesus said, "as I have loved you," showing yourselves to be my disciples. Love one another. You cannot read the Bible and not see God's love, and you cannot read the Bible and understand that you're to love other people. If you're truly born of God and you know God, you're going to love. For love comes from God. He's the source. He's the foundation. That's where it originates. And it just rings, doesn't it? God is love. No matter how you're treated, no matter what you're going through, God is love. In fact, it's one thing sometimes we ought to maybe wake up in the morning as we look in the mirror after I usually, you know, have a jolt. Maybe say, "God is love." How would things change if I just constantly remembered and focused on the fact that God is love and He wants me to be like Him. He wants me to love others the way He loves others. Would it change the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we encounter a situation? It should. And we know the verses, 1 Corinthians. If you give all your possessions to the poor and your body's burned at the flames, but you don't have love, you're a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. You know, if you don't have love, you've missed out. And love is patient and love is kind. And we know the verses. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, it says, simple verse, you can memorize it this morning right here. Do everything in love. We can remember that, right? Do everything in love. And I remember as a teenager sitting up in the auditorium with all the other teenagers as we would sing the songs, take the Lord's Supper, and as someone would come up and lead a closing prayer. In my head, they would say their prayer, and at the end of the prayer, when they said amen, I said, help me do everything in love. That was burned in my head, just in my heart, from understanding that one scripture. God, help me to do everything in love. And Paul says, my prayer for you is that your love may abound in knowledge and depth of insight so that you'll know how to live, what to do. He says that in Philippians. We should be praying. We should be striving. We should be working to be God's people. John proclaims it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Anyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. In chapter 2, he talks about love. In chapter 3, he talks about love. In chapter 4, he talks about love. In fact, in this text this morning, the one we're going to look at next week, 20-something times, he says love. He's driving the point home to them that if you're a Christian, people ought to see love in you. Do they see that? Are you growing in your love? Well, I've been a Christian a long time. I'm faithful to God. I go to services. I do this and that. Do you love other people? Do you love the unlovable? Do you love your enemy? Do you love difficult people, porcupine people, sandpaper people, people that aren't fun to love? Well, I'm selective. There's if love, I love you if you love me. There's because love, I love you because you love me. And there's anyway love, I love you anyway. Jesus was an anyway kind of lover. That's what He wants us to be. You can't escape it. He's proclaiming it to us. Can you claim to love God and have a hateful attitude? Is that what God wants? No. So He tells them, He proclaims to them, love one another because love is of God. God is love. And He proved His love over and over again, but ultimately, on the cross, He proves it without a doubt because He gives His only Son to die for the propitiation for our sins. So the proof of God's love is in the next two verses. This is love. The love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the propitiation for our sins. God proved His love for us because He sent His only Son that we might have life through Him. That's the cross. To be the propitiation. When's the last time you used the word propitiation? It means to cover. It has the idea of substitute. It has the idea of atonement. He became the atoning sacrifice for our sins. It goes back to the mercy seat where they would sprinkle blood and there was atonement, covering for sin. Jesus paid a debt I could not pay. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Jesus took care of my sin problem for me and for you. And it's personal. It's not just about He did it for the whole world. He did it for Russell, for Herman, for everybody in this room. Jesus paid the price on the cross for us. He demonstrates His love for us. And while we were sinners, enemies, Christ died for us. Amazing love. Now, I've waited several years now to... I haven't used this illustration because I was ridiculed at one of the parties for using this illustration a lot by Kevin. But a lot of you have never heard this because I haven't used it in several years. And if you don't like that I'm using it again, then still don't stone me in the parking lot. But what just the cross, what just His love by sending His Son, what does it speak to us? And there's an old illustration of a boy that grew up in New Mexico. His name was Durkee. True story. They made a movie out of it. I don't know if you can find it or not, but they made a movie out of this. His father was very wealthy, owned a lot of property. He used to have pilots go up and survey his land. And the son wanted to go up in the plane with the pilot to survey this land in New Mexico. And they went up. The engines died. The plane crashed into the side of the mountain. The pilot didn't survive. And this young boy was in the mountains alone. His father heard about the accident, went to a printer, got a package, went to the airport, got up in a plane, and when he got over the area where he thought his son was, on white paper, glossy paper, in big black bold letters, he sends a message. Durkee, I'm looking for you. I love you. I'll find you, your father. That's the message of the cross, isn't it? Don't stone me in the parking lot. But it's an illustration that reminds us God loves us. He's looking for us. He will find us, your Father. That's what the cross is about. And wherever I am in life, when I struggle, when I'm in my ups and my downs, that's the message I need to remember, that God loves me. David would say things like, I'm the apple of His eye. God rescues me because He delighted in me. We need a little bit of that kind of confidence. You and I are special toward God. The Hebrew writer paints a picture to say you can approach His throne with boldness and courage because of what Jesus has done for you. It's time for us not to be distant from God anymore. It's important for us to draw near to God. And we can because of what God did for us on the cross. The world needs that message. People need to hear. Sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to turn anybody off. I don't want to think I'm over-religious. Just share the story of God's love with people. There's power in that. Because God's love is persuasive. God's love will change us. When you really understand, Paul said, Christ's love compels me. When I think about what Jesus did for me, I have no choice. I got to tell other people about Jesus. When we really understand God's love, if a person's not sure in their faith, if a person's not excited about Jesus, if a person's kind of atrophied in Christ, one thing they need to do is embrace the love of God. Because it will change your heart and your spirit if you really understand and embrace what God has done for you. You'll treat people different. It's persuasive. And that's the last point of this amazing love God did for us. The persuasion of God's love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If God loved you the way He did, you got no choice. You will have no choice. So if people don't love right, they really probably don't fully understand what God did for them. Or maybe they feel like they don't deserve it. But John is saying, love will persuade you to treat people differently. Anger, hatred, hostility, resentment. If you really understand God's love, it changes you. God wants His church to be a church full of loving people. People that seek the highest good of others. People that are kind. People that keep no record of wrongs. People that are patient with each other. And how do we grow in love? We embrace the love that God had for us. And we pray for God to help us grow in love. And we study and we learn about God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't know if the name Bill Banowski means anything to you. He was a Pepperdine College president. He was a president for a while at Oklahoma University. He was a preacher at Broadway in the 60s. He wrote a book called The Mirror of a Movement, which was a reflection of the Abilene Christian lectures. So what he did is he went back to all the lectures that were given in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And what he was trying to discover is, at the point that our fellowship, the Churches of Christ, were one of the fastest growing movements in the United States, what was being taught, what was being preached, what was being the message that was going out? And guess what he discovered? When we were at our greatest growth, the message, the crescendo of the messages that were going out from our pulpits were, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. It was the story of Jesus being the propitiation for our sins. It was about the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Do we want to grow? Do we want to influence people in Santa Fe and Hitchcock and people around us? I want to grow. I want to convert people. Guess what? Get back to the basics. Talk about the love of God. Get back to the basics. He takes us back this morning by focusing on the proclamation, the proof, and the persuasion of love. Next week, we're going to finish the chapter and we're going to look at the benefits of love. He takes them from this point to that point. May God help us to be more loving, and may God help us to fully understand His love for us, because it will change the way we view ourselves, it will change the way we view others, and it will make us more Christ-like and God-like in our lives. And the Scripture says, be like Jesus, be like God. We're never more like them than when we love one another. Maybe you're here today and you haven't responded to the love of God in your life by being baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. Maybe there's something else we can help you with as we stand and sing.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. could help. Love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Please be seated. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so.
You have your Bibles, turn to the 22nd chapter of Luke, of the book of Luke. The 22nd chapter and the 23rd chapter of Luke, and those of the other Gospels as well, a couple of chapters, cover the most difficult, the most stressful, the most challenging time in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. As chapter 22 begins, it says, "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover." We skip down to verse 8. It says, "He, Jesus, sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat.'" Verse 9, they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large, furnished upper room. There, make ready. So they went, and they found it, just as he had said to them, and they prepared Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down, the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Christ knew that his time had come, that it was the time that he would have to be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. It must have been a very, very difficult time for him, because he knew that after this meal, this very evening, that he would be taken, that he would be severely beaten, that he would be ridiculed and mocked, and that finally he would be nailed to a cross for the sins of the world, an atonement for the sins of the world. Christ wanted us to know that. He wanted us, as we meet each Lord's Day, as we assemble as his church, as baptized believers, that we need something to remember him by and remember that suffering that he went through on our behalf. As he contemplated all of that, he in his wisdom chose from the Passover feast two things for us to use to remember him by the Lord's Day. He took the unleavened bread, he took the fruit of the vine, and he asked his disciples and us as his church to remember him with those. In the 19th verse of that same chapter, it says he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray for the bread. Father, we humbly come before you this morning, so thankful for Jesus, thankful for the sacrifice he made, knowing that it was not easy, that it was very, very difficult for him. And Father, as we partake of this bread, we ask you to bless it and bless us as we partake. Help us to truly know that it represents his body, which was given for us. In his name we pray. In verse 17 of that chapter, it says that he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then in verse 20, he said, likewise also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your wisdom and for your love and for your willingness to send him to redeem us. We thank you, Father, for his courage in doing that. And we know as his blood was shed that it was what was necessary so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. Father, we thank you for the cup and we pray that you bless us as we return. In his name. why did Jesus leave heaven, the Son of God, come to the earth, knowing what he faced, to sacrifice himself for us? Why would God send his Son to do that? If we can't answer that, we haven't been listening this morning. As Mike read to us about the love of God, as Russell preached very clearly that great love, and every song I think that we sang that Kendall led us this morning, we sang about that. The last one he sang that he led us in was, "Why did my Savior come to earth?" We should remember the words that we sang at that time. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup, sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because he loved me so. In the very last stanza, he gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Let's close our communion service with a prayer. Father, we thank you again for Jesus, for his sacrifice, for his love for us and for yours. We pray, Father, that we will reflect in our lives the kind of love that you've shown us. Thank you for Jesus and for every sacrifice that he made throughout his life and for the salvation that he offers through that sacrifice. In his name we pray.
Or chair in front of you, fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, pass it outside. If you're in one of the overflow rooms, pass it inside, and someone will come and pick it up at this time. Okay, so I want to play a little game with this last song. Okay, when you see my hand bounce, I want you to tap your toe. Doesn't matter which foot, don't move your ankle. Tap your toe, okay? Because it'll really help if you keep that in mind the whole time. Okay, so tap, tap. Tap. Okay, you with me? Okay, let's do this. I'm trusting you guys. I know tapping your toes is really hard for some of you, but.
To Christ be loyal and be true, his banner be unfurled, and borne aloft till it's secured the conquest of the world. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true, he needs brave volunteers to stand against the powers of sin. Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true, in noble service prove your faith and your fidelity, the fervor of your love. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true, and he will be your friend, defending and protecting you to life's triumphant end. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. Good job.
How do we show our love? We show our love by the way we react with one another, but also we show our love by giving to cause the work of the church to continue and to do things that are helpful to other people. Tornadoes, hurricanes, fires, disasters, illnesses. This church does a great job in using the money that you have given. So as you give this morning, do it with a spirit of love, a spirit of joy in your heart, because God has given you something to give. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us together. We thank you for the love of God. We thank you for the love of one another in this place today. We thank you, Lord, the love of those who are watching out in their homes. We pray, Lord, that as we close this service, you will bless those who are here. Bless those, Father, who are here. We pray that you will be with us during this week, that we will be shining example to those that we come in contact with. The things we ask in your name.